I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Here in Chicago, we have a rich history of LGBTQ plus activism. A century ago, we became home to the first documented LGBTQ plus rights organization in the nation. And Illinois was the first state to decriminalize homosexuality in 1961. Now we can visit a new exhibit to learn more about LGBTQ plus activism in the past 50 years and the Midwest's role in that. The exhibit is called Queer Justice, and you can find it at Chicago's Center on Halsted. I sat down with Camilla Taylor, the Deputy Legal Director for Litigation at Lambda Legal, a national legal organization that focuses on LGBTQ rights and those living with HIV. Here's Camilla.
Lambda Legal was first founded in 1973, and it was founded by a group of lawyers who got together and decided that they needed to be able to fight in court to protect the rights of LGBTQ people and people living with HIV. But its first client was actually the organization itself, because they were denied permission to form a nonprofit by the New York State government, because at that time, the act of advocating on behalf of LGBTQ people was found to be not benevolent. It was not a charitable purpose, according to the state of New York. They actually won that litigation and won the right to form an advocacy organization. And among the very first cases they took were cases trying to defend the ability of a doctor who was providing treatment to people living with HIV, who was being evicted simply because the landlord didn't like the fact that there were people living with HIV coming in and out of the building. So there were some very early cases in New York, and then the Midwest office was founded in 1993.
So this exhibit then, it was created in partnership with the American LGBTQ plus Museum. What would you say, Camilla, are the stories that you think are untold when it comes to the movement here in Illinois and the Midwest?
Well, among the first cases that Lambda Legal brought here in Chicago were cases advocating on behalf of same-sex couples who were discriminated against. One of the cases that we refer to as the Dancing Queens case was a case in which there were two gay men who were arrested simply for dancing together at a bar. And at that time, there was no state law prohibiting discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. And so the lawyers fought under the Cook County Human Rights Ordinance, which was one of the first to prohibit discrimination in public accommodations on the basis of sexual orientation.
Sodomy laws were used to target gay people in the 60s and 70s to that end, right? Talk more about how they were targeting queer people at the time.
Absolutely. So just as you point out, even though Illinois was the first to decriminalize sodomy in 1961, and the next state to do so was not for about another decade, the fact that sodomy laws existed in neighboring states like Missouri meant that even if you were never charged or arrested, let alone convicted, of having been engaging in intimacy with someone of the same sex, you were still considered a presumed criminal simply by virtue of acknowledging that you were gay in many states around the country. So people were purged from public employment, whether that was the federal government or from being employed as teachers, for example. They were denied the ability to foster or adopt children. And one of the most serious ramifications of sodomy laws was that in custody disputes, if someone was accused of having a same-sex relationship, they could be deprived of custody of their children. So there were very severe consequences simply of acknowledging your sexual orientation. And of course, at this point, transgender folks had it even worse.
So help us understand, what was it about Illinois at the time that made it ahead of the curb?
Well, this was, you know, as one of the largest cities, it was also a focus for activism. And there were some very early folks who were advocating for their political and civil rights. One of the things that Lambda Legal did shortly after its founding here was to advocate on behalf of a group of queer folks of color who wanted to march in the Bud Billiken parade and successfully managed to obtain their inclusion. And there were also some very significant gay bars, and those were kind of informal community centers of a sort for LGBTQ people in the absence of a place like the Center on Halsted today.
Why do you think then that this history is so important for people to understand right now?
Well, I think it's important for people to realize just how recent many of the advances for the LGBTQ community have been. It's important to recognize that in part because we still need to fight to protect them. There are plenty of forces in this country that are trying to roll us back. And just in neighboring states like Iowa, we see book bans and a Don't Say Gay or Trans law. We've seen laws passing in Missouri and in Indiana that try to criminalize or otherwise prohibit the provision of health care to transgender youth. These wins that we've obtained, even just so recently as 2015, when we've indicated the freedom to marry nationwide at the U.S. Supreme Court, are quite recent. And as we've seen with respect to abortion rights, there are certainly plenty of folks who are trying to roll them back. And in order to be able to protect them, we have to know the history.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
So you talked a bit about the story, the Dancing Queen story, the Bud Billiken parade story, which, I mean, it sounds, a lot of it when you break it down now, Camilla, today in 2024, sounds kind of ridiculous, right? But this was common back then.
Absolutely. So I joined Lambda Legal as a staff attorney in 2002. And at that time, my first case was on behalf of a group of people in Missouri who were charged with the crime of having been intimate with someone of the same sex. Sodomy laws still existed in Missouri, and it was the Midwest.
In 2002.
And it was the Midwest office of Lambda Legal and a partner at Jenner and Block here in Chicago who fought the case Lawrence versus Texas that succeeded in 2003 in striking down all of the remaining sodomy laws in the country. So it is really a very, very recent development that you can no longer criminalize people simply for being gay.
Yeah, and you started to talk about this before, but tell us in detail the role that the Midwest played when it came to that movement for same-sex marriage.
Well, until the middle of the 2000s, there was not even a law that prohibited discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. And that movement really sped up in 2004, 2005. And at that time, there was also a need to fight for the freedom to marry. And Illinois was one of the early states to pass civil union legislation because people who were uncomfortable with the idea of same-sex couples marrying were a little bit more comfortable with the idea of them being able to have access to the same rights and responsibilities that accrue to married couples. Mm-hmm. And in 2013, marriage legislation passed here in Illinois as a result of the heroic efforts of legislators like Greg Harris and Kelly Cassidy and others, Senator Heather Staines. And at that time, because of the timing of the passage of the legislation, there was going to be a six-month delay before couples could actually marry from the time when it was signed by Governor Quinn at the time. And there were some couples who were facing the trauma of a terminal illness. One of the members of the couples, they were not going to be able to survive in order to be able to get married. And so some of the very first couples to marry under federal law, the first who went to court and were granted the right to marry by a federal court were here in Chicago because they faced such a cruel fate.
Yeah.
And they were able to celebrate their marriage before the law took effect later in the summer of that year.
So again, fast forwarding to today, talk about the battles that you all are continuing to fight.
Well, Illinois is kind of a beacon of hope right now for LGBTQ people around the country. We are surrounded by states that have passed laws that ban the provision of health care to transgender youth. We are surrounded by states that have banned books containing LGBTQ content in schools. And Iowa, for example, has a Don't Say Gay or Trans law that actually prevents any sort of recognition of gay or trans kids in school. And we're also seeing a really kind of insidious type of law pass in a number of states around the country, which requires any school official who finds out that a student might be gender nonconforming or trans mm-hmm. to report that student to their parents, even if the student would be rendered unsafe or vulnerable to abuse at home. And these are very worrying wow. laws as well. So a lot of what we're doing right now is trying to protect transgender youth in particular as much as we can until this recent wave of fierce attacks has rolled over.
How long is the exhibit going to be at the center on Halsted?
Well, it next goes to Dallas, and it will be there for a few more weeks.
And so Dallas is next.
Yes.
Oh, wow. And so this started, I was fascinated by how long ago it launched in New York, last year. And so how long do you think this will keep going?
Well, we're hoping as many people can see it as possible.
Yeah.
And I don't
it's
know.
Hitting all the big cities.
Yes. It's already been to LA and Atlanta.
Wonderful. We'll leave it there. Camilla Taylor is the Deputy Legal Director for Litigation at Lambda Legal. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yasin, edited by Maha Ahmed, and mixed by Max Loopers. To stay up to date with the stories and news in Chicago, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and head over to wbez.org/reset for a full archive of our interviews. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely